Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Basilisk Five Studio Limited Q3 and 9 months FY2026 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Basilisk Five Studio Limited. On behalf of the company and Valorem Advisors, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the third quarter and 9 months ended of the financial year 2026. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Balakrishnan, Managing Director and CEO of the company, Mrs. Yoga Lakshmi, President, Business Strategy and Whole Time Director, and Mr. Gaurav Mehra, Chief Financial Officer of the company. Without any delay, I request Mr. Balakrishnan to start with his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Purvangi, and good afternoon to everyone. Warm welcome to you all for our earnings conference call for discussing our performance for Q2 and YTD results for FY2026. Before I give you the operational highlights of the period under review, let me first start by giving a brief overview of the company for some of those participants that may be new to our company. Basilisk Five Studio Limited started in 2013, incorporated as private limited in 2016, got listed as public limited in September 2023, the record oversubscription of 287 times. It's an Indian global MNC, visual effects studio, covering end-to-end visual effects services across film, television, TV, web content, and commercial. Over the last one decade, we have established ourselves as a trusted creative partner within the global visual effects ecosystem by consistently delivering high-quality outcomes across diverse formats and platforms. Our company operates through an integrated delivery model supported by studios across India, which is in Chennai, Pune, and Bangalore to start with, United Kingdom, France, and Canada, with a workforce of over 750 talented professionals and growing, enabling seamless global project execution. This international presence allows us to remain close to our clients while leveraging operational strengths across geographies. Our services span the entire visual effects value chain, including pre-visualization, asset creation, animation, effect simulation, lighting, rendering, and final compositing. This comprehensive capability allows us to deliver end-to-end solutions and position ourselves as a reliable partner for complex, high-quality productions. A key strategic milestone for us has been the July 2024 acquisition of a majority stake, 70% in UK subsidiary Onofus, a company with two decades-rich legacy of BAFTA and Emmy Award-winning workforce strength of 300 professionals and project credentials of Damson, Thor, Napoleon, Crown, and many more, including recent Academy Award-nominated Mission Impossible to win. This acquisition has strengthened our creative capabilities, enhanced access to premium clients like Netflix, Amazon, Disney, Sony, Warner Brothers, and more, and expanded our international market presence as well. It also aligns with our long-term vision of building a globally integrated visual effects platform. We continue to serve leading global studios, streaming platforms, and production houses supported by long-standing client relationships. and a strong foundation of repeat business. These enduring partnerships reflect the trust our clients place in our creative capabilities, execution excellence, and delivery consistency. Now coming to the business performance and operational highlights for the previous under review. This year, we continue to deliver strong business performance, delivering revenue growth of 2.1x and PAT growth 2.5x for India standalone business, maintaining run rate of 100 crores per quarter at control level, and Gaurav will cover numbers in detail in this briefing. Such robust growth is the result of industry rebound, the company taking advantage of vendor of first choice for production houses such as Netflix, Disney, Amazon, and more. I am also pleased to share with our investors the three of our projects, which is Impossible, The Final Reckoning, The Electric Steel, and Shutterback, got nominated for Academy Award and shortlisted and reached to the top 20 level season. Big thanks to our BFF team for the hard work and maintaining consistency year over year. This recognition reinforces our position as a trusted visionary partner to leading global studio and streaming platforms. Happy to share that we added 12 new clients while serving 56 active clients across regions of Europe, UK, US, Canada, and Australia, and also delivering successfully 430 projects on schedule and receiving multiple client appreciation across international and domestic markets. Kudos to our professional team across global locations, and thanks to our clients for the trust and confidence. I am happy to share that the company is investing in strengthening global business development team, and we got 4 senior leaders joined us across the UK and US markets. Adrian DeWitt and Marian Point joined us as creative director and business director, respectively, for the Los Angeles market. Adrian bringing experience from marquee global franchises such as Harry Potter, The Matrix 3, Reloaded, The Hunger Games, and Elboy. And likewise, Marian worked for Guardians of the Galaxy, Disney, and Aquaman. So likewise, we also recruited Audrey Ferreira and Teresa joined us for the UK market. Audrey's notable contributions are Mufasa, The Lion King, and The Jungle Book. She is one of her most favorite VFX supervisors for Disney. And likewise, Teresa worked for Godzilla, Infinity, and Captain, and Marvel. In addition, we are also onboarding a seasoned creative head and VFX supervisor from ILM Experience. We will be starting in London effective March 1st, who will lead end-to-end international VFX delivery as well as high-value domestic mandate as well. We are also strengthening our supervisory bench with 2 more VFX supervisors joining from DNEC and MPC, both bringing strong AI-led production expertise, aligning with the technology-forward operating model. Collectively, this leadership expansion significantly enhances our access to premium global clients, strengthening our front-end engagement capabilities and improves conversion of high-value opportunities in our favor. As we scale into our next phase of global growth, strengthening leadership across creative, business development, and people strategy will remain our key priority. And also glad to share that we are actively pitching for several high-value marketing projects, including 3 with Netflix and 1 with MGM Amazon, which are currently at advanced stages of award finalization. On the domestic side, we have appointed an industry veteran as marketing head to scale our India sales strategy, which is more catering to our India domestic market. This is complemented by the onboarding of a seasoned on-site VFX supervisor to strengthen client engagement and execution capabilities within the domestic production ecosystem. From an organizational standpoint, we continue to institutionalize our people strategy. A new CHRO joined in February to drive leadership, development, talent scalability, and structural alignment as we grow globally. We have also signed a structured partnership with reputed universities and colleges, including highly reputed SRM and Loyola College in Chennai, among others. This initiative enables 52 early career hires and establishing a sustainable, cost-efficient talent pipeline, ensuring long-term capacity building while maintaining margin discipline. Now I would like to talk about technology. Our technology remains a core pillar of our long-term strategy, and during that period, we made meaningful progress in building a smarter, more scalable global VFX production platform. Under AI-driven operational intelligence, we have deployed an AI-enabled performance monitoring framework across our studios. This has significantly reduced manual reporting, enabled the data back to production forecasting, and introduced real-time productivity tracking in our system. Importantly, it provides granular visibility to team-level metrics, allowing leadership to take faster, more informed decisions and drive delivery precision across projects. On the production side, we have fully implemented Comfy UA across the production flow, making it accessible to all the actors. This marks a key step toward building an AI-ML-driven production ecosystem. The platform enables AI-assisted workflow that enhance productivity, improve delivery efficiency, and accelerate creative output. At the same time, it supports structured upskilling of our talent pool, ensuring that our teams remain aligned with the industry's shifted towards new technology-enabled working models. In parallel, we strengthened our global infrastructure backbone. Further, we have successfully relocated our London data center to a more cost-efficient facility. And likewise, now as all of you here know, the sensitivity and scale of the projects we handle, cyber security and compliance remain non-negotiable priorities. During this period, we conducted red team exercises and implemented real-time dark wave monitoring to proactively identify potential vulnerabilities. These initiatives are now supported by continuous security audits across our systems and meet global security and monitoring standards. We have successfully completed annual certifications and compliance audits for EPM, Apple, and Disney, and we have also received Apple certification as well. These validations reaffirm our adherence to the highest global security and content production standards required by leading studios and streaming platforms. Further, as part of our continued focus on margin resilience and operational efficiency, we have initiated a cost-savings project in which we will make a strategic transition from a fully AWS-based workflow to a hybrid infrastructure model. This transition is currently in progress and is expected to deliver approximately 50% reduction in infrastructure costs upon completion. Importantly, this optimization does not compromise scalability or performance. Instead, it strengthens our cost structure while preserving the flexibility required to handle large format global productions. We are targeting completion of this transition by July 2026, and we expect it to structurally enhance operating leverage going forward. In summary, this has been a period of disciplined execution and structural strengthening for the company. We have expanded our global leadership, deepened the client relationships, accelerated technology adoption, optimized our cost structure, and reinforced governance standards, all while maintaining creative excellence and delivery reliability. We are building not just scale, but a resilient, future-ready global platform positioned to capture the next phase of growth in the visual effects industry. We remain confident in our strategic direction and committed to delivering sustainable value to all stakeholders. With that, I will now hand over to Mr. Gaurav Mehra, our CFO, who will walk us through the financial performance of the company.
Thank you, Mr. Bhargav, and good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to connect with you all again today to share our strong business and financial performance consistently for another quarter and YTD results. Before I jump into the numbers, at the outset, I would like to share that we have a robust growth for India standalone, both in terms of revenue as well as for margin. We maintain consistency for the console revenue run rate. We have taken few bold initiatives required to set strong foundation for better margin trajectory from long-term perspective. I will be talking those all points in detail as we discuss the financial results. I will now share the financial performance for the quarter and the 9 months for FY 2026. I will start with standalone financial performance. Revenue update. Supported by strong industry revival, India business continued to deliver robust results. The company has delivered Q3 revenue of 39 crore and YTD December revenue of 94 crore. At YTD level, growth is 2.1x on YOY basis. Last year, we were at 46 crores for the YTD. 94 crore YTD December revenue of this year already surpassed full year revenue of last year, which was 74 crores by 28%. We expect the momentum to continue for the fourth quarter as well. Margin update. EBITDA margin improved by 11.3% for the quarter and 4.1% for YTD. Current year quarter EBITDA margin stands at 42.4% versus 31.1% of last year's Q3. Current year YTD margin stands at 46.5% versus 42.4% for the last year YTD. PAT margin improved by 16.4% from 10.7 of last year quarter to 27.1 in current year. Improved by 16.4% for the quarter and improved by 5.7% for the YTD. Current year PAT YTD margin stands at 29.2% versus 23.5% last year. Margin improvements are led by better volumes due to the increased offshoring and better winning as vendor of first choice. Now, I will move to the consolidated financial performance of the group. First, revenue update. Revenue for the quarter stands at 105 crore and for the YTD at 294 crore, delivering robust growth of 1.7x for YTD on YOY basis. Last year, YTD was 169 crore. Growth driven by the industry revival and higher winning. Our winning for FY26, April to December, stands at greater than the 300 crore and value yet to be delivered from the order book stands at greater than the 200 crore, which is almost 50% of our YTD December annual run rate. Now I will move to the margin update. EBITDA margin shrank by 2.9% for the quarter, 2.8% for YTD. Current year YTD EBITDA margin stand at 19.9% versus 22.7% last year. PAT margin shrank by 4.9% for the quarter, 2.4% for the YTD. Current year PAT YTD margin stand at 11.8% versus 14.2% for last year. Total OCI other comprehensive margin shrank only by the 2.2% for the quarter and 1.8% for YTD. Current year YTD total OCI percentage stands at 13% versus 14.8% for the last year. I would like to take the attention of the investor that how the numbers presentation has changed for us with effect from current quarter. As you know, after the last fundraise, after the last QIP fundraise, we are now a main board compliance company. Happy to share that your company transitioned to the Ind AS conversion smoothly and seamlessly. If you read our last year number, there was not OCI under the IGAAP. So we should compare, while comparing the year-over-year comparison, we should compare OCI to the OCI to have apple-to-apple comparison. Margin shrinkage mentioned now is primarily impacted by strategic initiatives to strengthen our global delivery model. Total impact of all irregular items stands at 2.8%. So if I add the irregular items to the, our 13% OCI, we are better than the last year margin percentage. Initiative details. Ind AS conversion impact. PAT and total OCI impacted by close to 4 to 8% by the Ind AS impact. We do have some other one-off severance costs which is being linked to the organization restructuring strategy. We did annual appraisal revision which was on the hold for last 2 years. We onboarded leadership hiring, as Bala mentioned, Adrian D. Vetti, Audrey, Mariana Teresa. this leadership hiring capability enhance our capability across India and UK. In total, we have onboarded 4 business development roles and 5 ops roles. If I consider this, all the initiatives which were not in that, which have been taken additionally, this all amounts to the impact of 2.8% cumulatively. These actions, while impacting the short-term margins, are aimed at structurally improving long-term efficiency and scalability. We will continue to explore more offshoring opportunities within the given legal framework for long-term benefits. I will move on to the offshore expansions and the delivery mix optimization. Parallel to the workforce rationalization in the higher cost regions, we continue to scale our offshore capabilities in India. Happy to share that offshore headcount increased by 58 FTE. Now I will move to the infrastructure cost optimization. As Balaji touched upon in his remarks, as part of our technology-led efficiency initiative, we are optimizing cloud infrastructure usage and reduce dependency on a fully AWS-based model. This initiative is expected to deliver potential savings to the tune of 5 crore to the 14 crore as it scales up over a period of the time in the FY27 and afterwards. Importantly, this transition is designed to preserve scalability and performance while structurally improving our cost base. Now I will move to the geographical revenue mix. Our revenue continue to remain well diversified geographically. North America accounts for 10%, Australia, New Zealand for the 2%, and remaining 17%. And European contribute to the 71% of the total revenue. Now I will move to the QIP proceeds utilization. As you know, we raised a total fundraise of the 85 crores way back in the September 2025. By the time we are talking, we are making the progress for all the objectives. In overall, we have utilized to the tune of the 48% of the total fundraise. We are yet to utilize the funds allocated for the inorganic growth opportunities, and very happy to share that M&A is at a very advanced stage of the LOI discussion. I will touch upon briefly on the aged receivable collection update. By the way of the 31st March 2025, our aged receivable greater than 180 days stands at 53.05 crore. We have recovered significant amount of approximately 9% of the old receivables by YTD December and have more stronger commitment for the running in the next quarter, but overall debtor outstanding greater than 180 days remains around the old level because of the timing gap. We were impacted of the lower collections into the month of the December owing to the European holidays. To summarize, we had robust India growth, offshoring picked up the pace, interim costs to be absorbed to deliver increased margin percentage in the years to come. While the quarter reflects planned investment and transition costs, we have taken the decisive support steps towards structurally lowering our cost base, increasing our offshore operational leverage, optimizing infrastructure spend, and strengthening our long-term margin resilience. We believe this initiative will position us well for improved profitability as execution scales over the coming quarters. With that, I now like to open the floor for the questions and answers. And thank you. Over to you, Poonam.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Aniket Madhwani from Step Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Aniket, please go ahead.
Yeah, so my question was with regards to the numbers. So here I can see there is a dip in margins at operating level and like net level as we compare YY over quarter-on-quarter. So could you just clarify the reason behind?
Aniket, can you mute your connection, please? There's some background noise. Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Mr. Aniket. This is Gaurav Mehra. I will take up your question. As we briefly touch upon, Mr. Aniket, if you compare, there have been a lot of initiatives taken by the management in the current financial year from the long-term strategy, which caters around that the annual appraisal being done after the 2 years, leadership hiring being done to strengthen our business development team, one of severance costs which has been incurred to take more offshoring business, and we were also been partially impacted by the Ind-AS conversion because of the timing difference. If I consider this all the initiatives, this all will cumulatively sum up close to 2.5 to 2.8% in the total margin. So if you see the total OCI margin for the YTD, we stand at 13%, and if I add back this one-off, I stand at 15.8% versus the 14.8% of the last year. So, in fact, operationally, the performance been better than the last year, but because of this initiative, there is a slight dip of 1.8% at the total OCI level and 5% at the PAT level.
So, do we see this be stable in coming quarter?
Absolutely, and in fact, we are also expecting some better winning. As I said, briefly mentioned that our winning for the FY26 stands at a much better level than earlier. We got a new winning of the 300 crores, and we stand at the 200 crore of the order book to be delivered. So that's positioning us much better position that will offset with the better utilization of the resources, with a better rates to win. So we do foresee this as a interim. It may be some impact may remain for the coming March quarter. It may not go completely off, but it will be very largely covered by the better utilizations and better rates.
So your outstanding order book will be 300 plus 200, I think. 500.
The win that we have from April to December, and the outstanding deliveries, 200 crores is outstanding with us, which has to be delivered from our site later.
Sorry, 200 will be delivered again? By this
200 crores, 200 is outstanding, it to be delivered value that we have with us.
Okay, and apart from this 300 CR, any projects, are you in talks with or expecting to add in this quarter?
Yes, out of this win, there are a lot of projects which will be delivered in the running quarter. So when we say that the order book, that our winning that pertains for the April till now, yeah, so there is a pretty much large delivery which is being covered up in the running quarter and the upcoming quarter. The large part of the undelivered 200 crore, Mr. Bala mentioned, will be covered from here in the end of the 2026 calendar year. It will be spread across from Jan 2026 till the December 2026, the delivery of the 200 crore to be precise.
Then the 300 crore will be delivered between April to December, right?
No, so let me just add for clarity around here. So what we are talking that the two numbers, we are saying 300 crore is the new winning happened from April 25 till December 2025. Out of this new winning, many of the projects have been delivered by now because it's not completely undelivered. So old winning plus the new winning all put together, we are still left out the 200 crore yet to be delivered. That's how it moves. You know, any order book, there will always be a old order running. There always will be a new winning.
and there the project and the delivery will continue. So in the 9 months, we have delivered the 300 crore, 294 crore to be precise. So that covers some large part of this winning as well.
Okay. So, if we even consider that out of this 200 CR, 100 CR will be delivered by March. If that is possible, then should we expect around 100 CR top line in this quarter?
It's hard to mention the precise number for such a nearby, Mr. Ankit, but as I said that we are generally, if you see our... Sorry?
I mean, if you can give just a rough idea.
Yeah, so if you see the current run rate, our current run rate runs at the 100 crore and that's how this, and we are not far away from the quarter close. We are on the track, so I'm saying that we are on the track and it's heading towards the better winning trajectory and helping to deliver the better, higher number. I hope that addresses
your question.
Aniket? Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viraj Mahadevia from Moneygrow. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mala. Hi, Gopal.
Viraj, please use your handset mode.
Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Hi, Bala. Hi, Gaurav. Thank you for the very detailed introduction. A couple of questions from my side. You know, in your press release, you mentioned four high-value projects between Netflix and Amazon. Could you give us an approximate range of what is the value of these, total value of four projects put together?
Approximately four projects, average of $2 million for each project, and that goes up to $8 to $9 million for these four projects.
Sorry, Bala, I couldn't hear you very clearly. You said $8 million total. 8 million in total?
Average, 2 million for each project on average. So approximately $8 to $9 million is what we've been discussing on these projects.
Understood. Helpful. Thank you. Okay. On the 50% cost reduction that you talk about by July 26, would you be able to maybe elaborate on that a little bit? Where would these savings come from? And what would it result in terms of annual savings on a full year basis?
Sure. And yeah, sure, to give you an update on, as when we started working with our team in London, we initially started working on towards AWS. So the team from India used to work completely on cloud, where they will be delivering projects and be accessing any files through completely from cloud earlier. And now we are moving towards a solution where it will be more of a hybrid, which is between cloud, and we will have a storage centrally in cloud, and we will have all those rendering and processing that will be taken care completely here in India. So this will save right. The cloud cost. And we are estimating for 60 users. It can, at the moment, we do have 60 users working in India who are logging to missions in London. And for that, it will be effectively between 4.5 to 5 crore of savings. And as in we will be growing, there will be more considerable savings as well with more users be adding into this.
Understood. So this is 5 crore of saving annually?
Annually for 60. And likewise, if we are adding 100 users, that would be better, much more considerable saving.
So to add on that, what Bala mentioned, Mr. Viraj, and thank you for that question. So as Mr. Bala mentioned, it's one among the very significant projects what our team is working on for last one quarter, and it's reaching to a very advanced stage. So as we know that the cloud usage allow the flexibility to operate from anywhere and it helps, but it comes at a higher cost. And you right. have a low-cost solution on the on-prem, which can help you cost saving, but it comes with a constraint. So team has come up with a very brilliant idea how we can balance the both so it do not impact the expendability globally, but it optimizes the cost. Okay. So the number Bala mentioned, that is for already identified migration.
and it's a continuous process to continue to walk. And as per our estimate, it has a potential to increase from 5 CR annually to the 15 CR as we increase the headcount. So we have already identified the areas where the Bala mentioned the number approximately to be the 5 CR, and we are working on the others. As it expands, as the more offshoring happens, it can grow as high as the 15 crore, and which is kind of, you can understand, 1% to the 3% of 3.5% of our top line revenue, uplift into the PAT percentage.
Understood. And when you say this 5 crore going to 15 crore, is it driven by arbitrage on the headcount? Or is it driven by cost of services like cloud costs, et cetera, that are being managed better? I'm not clear about that piece.
So it's a combination of the both. First, as more and more users we migrate, it has. Then the second part is what part we can do on-prem from the others. So it has different parameter and different things what we can. So it's a combination of the both. Even if for the same I increase the user, it replicates the same saving for the bigger count. And as I expand the scope to cover the more areas, that way also it will give the benefit for both existing as well as the new user.
Understood. Another question I had is there's a 14 crore jump in employees cost between roughly 14 crores between September to December quarter. And you mentioned, I'm assuming this is largely employees, the four senior employees, AJ and DeWitt, et cetera, that have been hired, plus maybe bulking up team in India with the MVC employees coming on board. Is now all hiring complete within the ecosystem, India plus overseas, to deliver 600 to 800 crores of top line in the next year or two?
Shall you take up that question, Bala? Sure. So two parts to this, Mr. Viraj. First, I will take up that the employee cost increase. So I believe you are referring to the current quarter versus the last quarter, wherein
absolutely at console,
the 21 crore. So I would say that you should look at it from the two perspectives. If you see the revenue of the respective period, revenue itself has increased from the 93.4 crore to 105 crore. It's not the same revenue.
Correct.
We should look at the employee as a percentage of the revenue. So, in fact, our employee ratio as a percentage of the revenue has improved from previous period of 69.7% to the 66.3%, a significant 3% reduction at an overall level. So, and that's coming from the offshoring. So, while the absolute number may increase, but the percentage is continuously coming down as we do more offshoring and we do the cost optimization. And important to call out that the current year employee benefit include the severance cost and the employee appraisal I mentioned in the earlier remarks. So even after absorbing this, there is a benefit of the 3%. Otherwise, the benefit is even bigger and larger.
Understood. How large was the severance out of UK?
It's hard to say the number, but sizable. It's a sizable. As I said, that all the initiative which have been taken new and which were not in the corresponding period, it amounts in the range of 2.5% to 3% on our as a percentage of the revenue. It's quite a sizable number.
Understood. Sorry, you were saying.
No, thank you. And coming back to your other question that whether with the current workforce we are set with all the hiring, are we equipped to deliver the targeted number? The answer is the all new hiring we talk about, it is not going more towards the operation people to deliver, but it is happening more towards the business development leadership, which help in building the sales funnel, and the leader into the operation who drives this all the initiative. As far as that the delivery people is concerned, you can see that the last quarter versus this quarter, we mentioned that there is a 58 headcount increase. This is entirely happening into the offshore. If you see the on-site, there is a gradual reduction as a part of the severance as well as a part of the offshoring as permissible within the legal framework. So that's the shift happening.
but not overall. Overall, wherever it is more increasing from the offshoring location.
Understood. So if I may just paraphrase, please, to fully understand. So you're saying about 58 employees added largely for offshoring delivery centers, and the bulk of the hiring in terms of dollars or rupees has been for BD functions.
Absolutely right.
Which is front-end positions in LA, US, UK, etc.
Absolutely. That the in the new geographies as well as in our existing geographies, all the creative director, business development, who talks to the production houses, who has the networking to build the sales funnel. Yes.
To add to what Gaurav, we are investing more on high-level VFX supervisors and executive producers who would be bringing in more business opportunities in the overseas location. And likewise, we are adding more efficient and proficient artists here in India who would be more appropriate for execution and the operational capabilities from India. So that is where our focus has been for the last one.
Understood. Can I ask some more questions or should I get back in queue? Okay, I'll carry on. You know, the status on age receivables, that is still not something, Mr. Mehra, that is coming fully under control. You know, this is stretching on now for almost a year and a half, if not longer, 53 crores down to some 45 crores. What are we doing to proactively collect this? Because now the industry is in revival mode, end clients have projects, they have cash flow. Why are they not repaying? And what is really happening there?
So there is a cycle. That's a very fair question, Mr. Viraj. But there is a cycle. If you look out that how the revival is happening, as I mentioned, that revival largely started in the start of this financial year. And when I say the revival started, that revival is start from the production. So there is a cycle of the production, then there is a cycle of the VFX work to be done. Once the work is being done, then there is an invoicing process, there is a collection process. And because likewise it was with us wherein it was some aged receivable, even the foreign studios does have some gaps in their working capital. So it's a combination of the both. They are bridging their own needs as well as paying to us in parallel. There being some deferment to the earlier commitment which was committed for the last quarter only to the December, you know, last part was the people were not available in the European and all. We do, but having said that, I would like to take your attention that there is a significant 9%, close to 9 to 10% which has happened, which is a sizable number to the aged one. Now we are pushing it more. We have the more commitment as you raise the concern. We have also raised the concern and we are expecting larger parts to come in the current quarter and the following quarter. It's going to take some time, may not be very immediate, but I think in the next two quarter, it should address a good amount of the collection over those while the current collection remains at track.
Do any of these aid
Thank you. Viraj, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Surendra Reddy from Chartered Investors Community. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, actually, I can see that our current quarterly run rate is going like 100 crores. And can we see like any jump in that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as I said, that generally, if you see the trend, and I will take your attention how the our trend is, the mostly the Q4 quarter is better. Having said that, there will always be ups, always be down. So, we expect the quarter at least at the par or slightly better than the current run rate, which will cover up that. With the higher winning happen in this current financial year, we mentioned that we got a winning, new winning of greater than 300 crore, which is really helping us to move the number to the upward trajectory as we enter into the next financial year in the Q1 and so. So we do expect the numbers to improve as the winnings continue to happen. There have been some deferment in the, there have been some deferment to the projects which were scheduled by December from the production houses, but that's part and parcel of the our module and work model. There will always be some pluses, there will always be some minuses. It's hard to predict any trend because we are not into the IT, where there is a standard monthly billing. It depends upon the production schedule, depends upon the shoot, a lot of things happen. But on a long-run basis, definitely we expect the growth momentum to continue as the company has delivered over the last few years.
Yeah, got it, sir. Thank you. One follow-up question on that, sir. I believe that we are working as a subcontractor level. So is there any scaling up to contractor and doing major part of the value chain instead of small talk?
Sir, if you take the last two to three years, our 85% to 90% of the work is direct work, and only 10 to 15% would be of subcontract. And in that regard, we, right from pre-visualization to final delivery, we are very much in the full VFX work for every other project which we've been working on, right, for the major networks like Netflix, Amazon, Warner Brothers. If you take any major network, we are participating in all those high-end projects which have just been produced by production network.
Yeah, got it, sir. Got it. Thank you. One last question. We have an employee base of 750. So, may you know how many people are working under 3D side?
I would say 65% would be on 3D side, and likewise, remaining 35% would be 2D. So it's more of CGAV team and light 2D.
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir. All the best for the future.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Pranay Jain from Deal Wealth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes. Please go ahead.
So with all the strategic initiatives that we've taken and the visibility that we have on the wins and the pipeline, can you please share what is the planned revenue and EBITDA or PAT margin for FY27 that we are working towards? A realistic range. I know that we may overshoot also if things get even better, but what is the planned revenue and EBITDA PAT margin that we have for FY27?
So, Mr. Pranay, we generally do this budgeting exercise in the start of the financial year. So, we will be more going into the detail for the next financial year as we close the March to give the better guidance around the number. But on an average, I think our CAGR is in the range of the 25% to 30% CAGR on the top line. And our margin continuously improving gradually, which is part and parcel of our offshoring strategy as well as the different cost-saving initiatives being taken. So I think we should maintain that CAGR, and with the new resources onboarded into the business development, which is a significant investment management has taken the initiative for, that should really help to take up the number to the next trajectory. We are bidding currently to the volumes and the levels which are far ahead that what we used to do. That's a contribution of the new business development team has joined, as well as the industry revival. So we are quite optimistic. Maybe we will share the guidance and we do the next year budgeting exercise.
Mr. Mehra, we are just 5-6 weeks away from the closure of the financial year. I'm not looking for an exact number that you're aiming. We have a reasonable understanding. In any case, you have indicated 25% kind of CAGR on the revenue should at least be expected. So I will look forward to that. But what can you indicate on the margin, any range that we can look forward to? Because only optimistic commentary does not help. Hope is not a strategy over here for investors.
No, it's not a strategy, but as I said, that in a range, we always target in a year advantage of about, I would say, close to 1.5 to 2% that improving the margin, and it's a combination of the multiple factor, as you well understand, that cost optimization, the pace, the things happen. So we internally target into the margin improvement in a range of 1.5 to 2%. As I said, while it is a six weeks away, I didn't mean that we will be able to close it by the April. It goes in the round. So probably once we come for that, the May call, when we will be doing the annually, definitely we will share more insight toward that. But as you rightly picked up, the top line CAGR in the range of 45 and kind of a margin in the range of 1.5 to 2% improvement year over year.
Right. And last question, what is the slate of projects to be delivered in the next 3 to 6 months? Which we can look forward to hitting the screen. Any color you can give on that?
We recently worked on Witcher Season 5, which has again been currently been screened in Netflix, and since we've been working on, there will be upcoming episodes are coming on Netflix. And likewise, we recently worked on Mission Impossible, which was released quite recently as well. And there are upcoming Disney movie which we are working on, which is a big Disney franchise movie, which shouldn't be able to name because the movie is yet to be released. So that is the one movie where we've been working on. Sorry, that isn't able to name. They're not allowed to name the movie before it is released. But we are working on some of high-end films for Disney and one high-end TV series for Warner Brothers at this point. And that is again one of potentially the biggest projects for Warner Brothers in the last 20 years. So that is the kind of project which we are working on. And likewise, apart from that, we are also working on TV series for the six and
so these big production houses that you just mentioned, are we strained on the receivables front from their side, or is there some other older production houses and partners who are yet to pay us?
I will take up that question. So as you rightly anticipated, that the aged receivables are not from the premium production houses. The aged receivables are more for the India business, wherein we get the subcontracted business from the studios. Our foreign subsidiary, which get the direct contract with the production houses such like Netflix, Disney and all, it's well in that. So if you see that last year we collected 240 crore, this year also we have collected significant amount, which are all on the track and in the grid. It's not only with us, it's an industry pile-up, and probably that foreign studios take time, as you mentioned, they need to have some money for their own working capital and gradually paying. And as the demand is up for everyone, they are also recruiting the people, they are also increasing their working capital cycle. So it's a cycle across, but it's more pertains to the studios to answer your question, not to those production houses.
Thank you for giving that color, and all the very best to you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to two at a time. We'll take our next question from the line of Praneet, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand in terms of, I understand the legacy receivables are going to happen sooner or later. I'm trying to understand when we took over one of us, we planned on renegotiating also a few of the payment terms, so we might get it a little earlier. So how are we in that journey at this point?
I will take up that question. So as I mentioned, that the receivables are pertaining more to the India business than the one-off related. So because it's with the major studios, it's not from the one-off person like that.
But I understand that, but I'm curious about the international payment terms on how are they changing after we took over, because there was some efficiency we thought we could get from that particular domain, right, in terms of working capital. I was just trying to understand how are we on the journey in terms of reducing receivable days or payment terms. I'm just curious about that.
I think that's pretty much on the track. So as I said, that those production houses, many times we get the sizable signing amount. So those are pretty much on the track. To answer you, that where our international credit terms lies. So it's in the standard of the 30 days, and generally we get the payment within a cycle of the 30 max to max 45 days. So those are all on the track. Even for the India, if you see that our current collections are all on the track. It's the older one which is coming back in the staggered manner. On the payment term perspective, for the India also, we have the payment term 30 to 45 days. But it does take a cycle of close to 90 days to receive the money, considering the work being done, approvals and all the process. So there's a some cycle gap from the India business versus the overseas business. We are talking to them to do, and they are happy to support the all the current receivables on the time and age one in the staggered manner, as I mentioned.
Understood. So just the reason I'm reinforcing is just to understand the progress on what happened from the international. Was it higher than 45 days before we took over? Or what was the time then? And now it has become 30 to 45. What is that progress right now?
It was a little bit stretched at that time, but that's a long back because we got integrated way back in the July 2024. So it's kind of a, it's been a long period for those things to get settled by now. So those, all the things are over. Yeah, at the time when we acquired, there was a few cases where it was a stretch, which is now on the routine.
Understood, got it. And in terms of India business,
Mr. Praneet, I request you to join back the queue, please. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Janil, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, so I had a question, like, what is the one-time cost of the quarter, and can I get the breakup for the same also about the cost?
So I will take up that question. So it's hard to provide, that's not the public information available for the breakup, but I have given you the guidance that all the initiatives put together, it ranges in the range of the 2.5 to 3% in terms of the impact in the tax.
Okay, but so for with the numbers, you cannot provide us with the breakup, like with the line
items? That's not a public information.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pankaj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, I have a quick question. I'm continuing the discussion we had on receivables. Can we get a breakup of what is the aging of receivables? I'm more interested in any amounts which are due for more than 6 months. And out of that, is there anything which we are expecting to be kind of written off over a period of time? That's question number one. Question number two is regarding the operating margin dip we are seeing in Q2 to Q3. So we understood the manpower changes which you kind of just highlighted. Is there anything beyond that also in terms of reduction of those margins?
Sure. So maybe I will answer the last part first before I go to the receivable. So it's not limited to the investment. As I said, that there was a sizable number from the moving from the IGAAP to the Ind AS being with the main board compliances. So that has also been impacted to a sizable percentage. And other than that, as I said, that apart from investing into the new individual, we have given the appraisal after the 2 years. So there has been some impact from that. And also we have those are the major ones which is impacting all put together. This has been partially off-compensated as well. So means I like to take your attention that the cost initiative, what we are trying, that is also partially offsetting this. But probably the impact of the severance, impact of this may be the larger because this initiative we started in the Q2, and as you know, there is a process of the legal notice period and the cost hit at a later part. And the cost saving, what we are talking about, those are just being started, so more benefit to come in the current quarter, so there is a timing gap to that. Coming to your question on the receivable part, so maybe I will say like that. So receivable, it belongs to the our existing customer, and it belongs to the customer which still continue the work. We are still doing the regular work. It do not pertain to any single customer. It pertains to close to 7 to 8 customers who are with us for more than 6 to 8 years. And as I said, their work continue even now. Coming to that, whether there is any sort of the bad debts, we don't foresee at this point of the time. There happened one instance for a smaller value way back into the Q2, which has been provisioned 100%, which has been part of the published financials. But at this point of the time, the, other than that, there is no indicator indicating any such sort of the news.
Gaurav, can we get a number for what is the amount which is outstanding for more than 6 months?
As you know, the for the quarter, that is the unpublished information. Once you come for the March, definitely we will be happy to detail that.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from the line of Praneet, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the follow-up. So I see that our India operations has gone through a huge bump up. So just trying to understand how much of the new business was from our resourcing from our international division versus how much was new or net new order additions.
So I think it's a mix of both. As I said, that after the industry revival, we are getting the volume spike up from the existing customer, as well as we mentioned that we onboarded 12 new customer, including the 52 happily serving customers. So it's a mix of both, the new as well as the existing one. To give you a flavor, the new one should be contributing in a range of the 15% to 20% in total.
So 15% to 20% of the growth, or 15% to 20% of the overall revenue?
I'm saying growth.
Okay, so about what? Understood. Got it. So, and in terms of the resourcing capability, did we reach our peak in terms of what we wanted to resource and as a percentage of value of work, or is there more scope to go forward?
There is more scope to grow forward, and as in we've been recruiting more artists in India as well as in for Chennai as well as for Bangalore. And as in we mentioned about the hybrid solution which we are integrating into the system, currently we have 60 users, and we've been waiting to integrate this completely. So that way, from 60, we are looking to grow that to 150 in the Bangalore. And likewise in Chennai and Pune as well, we will have a similar growth as well over a period of time. And likewise, to add to what Gaurav mentioned about the new projects in India, and apart from traditional film and TV projects which we've been delivering for clients, we have also started a new initiative where we've been delivering production-ready projects, which is completely generated out of AI, and commercials and ads where we've been delivering for clients for commercials, where we don't have much of a copyright issue, and that is where we've been using. Completely, it's more of a hybrid of AI and VFX, where we've been delivering product-based commercials to clients as well. So which is again really helped our revenue.
So,
thank you. Praneet, I request you to join back, please.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranay Jain from Deal Wealth Capital. Please go ahead.
I wanted to understand the funds that we have raised this year. What is the utilization earmarked across key categories, and by when we will be infusing it, and by when do you think it will start reflecting into the numbers, the results that we want?
So, as you mentioned that out of the total fundraise in an overall, we have utilized close to 48% odd number, and the larger part remain unutilized related to that the inorganic growth opportunity where we are progressing at an advanced stage of discussing the LOI, and that's how the utilization looks like.
So what is this inorganic opportunity or the new growth areas that we are looking at? Is it in terms of capability? Is it geography? Is it client set? How are we looking at this?
For this new acquisition, we are looking more at a North American market, And likewise, currently we are fully covered for traditional VFX as well. What we've been also looking at to cover more into us experience type market. Experience is what we do see, again, as a diversified as well as a futuristic market as well for a sector. And on top of that, experience from commercial as well as the North American market is what we've been doing for our development.
How comparable would their unit economics be compared to ours? Is it similar? Is it better?
So quite on the size, maybe I can take up that question. So I think in kind of the revenue, they may be of the size as we did the last acquisition, kind of a 200 to 300 million. So there are different prospects what we are evaluating at this point of the time. Few are of the larger size, few are of the smaller size. So as I said, we are in a stage of LOI. Once it gets finalized, we will be happy to share more details with investors.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll take our next question from the line of Vishal from Smart Horizon Opportunity Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Am I audible to you?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Hi, sir. The one question for the one of us limited acquisition, which was acquired for the global, expand the global ecosystem. How quickly we are seeing the actual cross-sell revenue from this acquisition? Can you please quantify the contribution from one of us limited in FY26?
Not clear about the question. May you please repeat?
Can you use your handset mode, please, Vishal?
Just a little, ma'am.
Sure.
Hello, ma'am, I'm audible? Hello?
Yes, yes, go ahead.
The question is, you acquired acquisition for the One of Us Limited to expand global footprint. So how quickly we are seeing the actual cross-sell revenue from this acquisition? Can you please quantify the contribution from this acquisition in FY26?
It's a very significant to detail you, and in fact, it's important to share that this acquisition, they were our customer even before acquisition. So it's a well-known well-known culture and the well-known knowing the entity each other. There is a significant increase into the offshoring business to talk about the cross-sell. It's also helping that whomsoever we know, they are directly in the contact of the production houses. We are getting the other sorts of the work. To give you the flavor of it, I would say the cross-selling at this point of the time will be in the range of 8 to 10% kind of a range. But the more benefit of the cross-selling is coming from the offshoring, because before acquisition, we were one of the vendors for them for offshoring work. Now it's exclusively with us. And the offshoring is at a different level. As we mentioned, we are opening the Bengaluru branch and it's going in a very fast-paced manner. So this all opportunities are coming in my mind as a part of the integration and collaboration opportunity.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. And we really appreciate your time. And if you do have any queries, please do forward it to our IR and PR team. We would be happy to answer any questions that may come to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of Basilic Fly Studio Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thanks, everyone.